Our lesson this morning is the scripture harmony. Our text is Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 and 21. And before we get into that, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for our ability to explain your word. So, Lord, give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message today, and today I'm going to attempt to harmonize the episodes recorded in the Gospels that chronicle what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. And I've endeavored to use the entire 28th chapter of Matthew, the 16th chapter of Mark, the 24th chapter of Luke, and the 20th and 21st chapter of John in this harmony to make it as complete as possible. And I invite you to take the printed copies home that you might review the scriptures and determine for yourselves in the portions in which I combine episodes from different gospels whether my analysis makes sense. And I've tried to use the best thinking of others that I can find and added some of my own reasoning into the mix. We'll begin with Matthew 28, chapter, verse 1, as our lesson reads. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Now the Jewish day is calculated from 6 in the evening, so that the Jewish Sabbath day actually starts at 6 p.m. on Friday and runs until 6 p.m. on Saturday. The women acquire the spices on the Saturday evening before the resurrection after 6 p.m. Now, the women were prepared to go to the grave early on the first day of the week, but before they could get there, a great miracle happened. The scripture says, Matthew 28, 2 and 3, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone from the door and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, those on guard trembled and became like dead men." Now, there were no witnesses to the actual resurrection. The guards saw the stone rolled away from the tomb, but there is no record that they actually saw Jesus rise. And the first of the women to the tomb was Mary Magdalene, who went to the tomb on Sunday morning while it was still dark. The scripture says, starting with Mark 16 and 9, "Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple arose and ran and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, lying by themselves, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things to her. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Now the women and the men did not lodge together after the crucifixion. The men were hiding from the Jewish authorities, and the women were not. So the rest of the women maintained their plan to come to the tomb, but unlike Mary Magdalene, they waited until after sunrise. The scripture says, starting with Luke 24:1, Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Joanna and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they and certain other women with them came to see the sepulchre, bringing the spices and fragrant oils which they had prepared. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now, since the women did not see the guards there as they approached the tomb, they recognized that they might have to solve the problem of opening the tomb without the assistance of the guards. The scripture says, starting with Mark 16:3-5, And they said among themselves, Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Then they went in, and entering the tomb, they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, the angel answered and said to the woman, Do not be afraid, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus. For I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered Jesus' words. But he said to them, Come see the place where they laid him, but go quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you, Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now, it's the most interesting fact that the women were the first to receive the information of the resurrection. Generally speaking, the testimony of women was not considered evidence in either Jewish or Roman courts of law. And you can see how the disciples evaluated the testimony of the women that told him about the resurrection. The disciples were certainly not looking for Jesus to fulfill the prophecy that he had so clearly given them, nor were they crediting the testimony of the women, which gives the episode additional validity. Because this is not the story of sympathetic and emotional followers of Jesus easily swayed into believing what could be considered the hysterical tales of women, but hardened men who were skeptical of the accounts given by the women to the point that they required personal corroboration as we will see as the episode progresses. Now, there were some men who knew what happened before the apostles found out, but they were not exactly forthcoming with their testimony. The Bible records, starting with Matthew 28, 11 through 15, "Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they assembled the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Now, the guards did not witness the resurrection, but they witnessed the supernatural rolling away of the stone from the door of the tomb. However, the testimony of the guards was suppressed. Jesus appeared to the woman, and the testimony of the women was disregarded. So Jesus next appeared to two of the followers that were not in hiding. The Bible tells us, beginning with Mark 16, verse 12, "After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And Jesus said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' Now Cleophas was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was the husband of one of the Marys in the party. John 19:25 tells us, 'Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene.'" So the story of the Emmaus Road continues. "Then Jesus said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company, who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see.' And of course, Peter and John were the two that went to the tomb and did not find Jesus' body. Luke 24, 25 to 35 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And Jesus went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that happened on the road, how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." So at this juncture, the apostles have the testimony of the women, the testimony of Cleophas and the other disciple, and a sighting of Jesus by Peter. So Jesus decides to appear to the entire group of the disciples gathered in the upper room. One disciple, most notably, is absent. The Bible says, starting with Luke 24 and 36, "Now as they said these things," discussing the Emmaus Road experience, "then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" So Jesus makes it clear to the disciples and to us by extension that the plan of God is that the combination of the teaching of Jesus that we find in the scripture and the evidence of Jesus' resurrection combined with the indwelling Holy Spirit should enable us to have in us the mind of Christ so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. Thus, we should be able to make decisions about the sins and forgiveness of ourselves and others based upon our utilization of those gifts from God. Jesus has, however, a few pieces of unfinished business in the lives of the apostles. One of the apostles missed the initial meeting between the apostles and Jesus. The Bible says, beginning with John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see in his hand the prints of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.'" Now, there's still the matter of the restoral of Peter to the fellowship. Peter was more valiant than the other apostles in that he at least followed Jesus to his trial, but under pressure, Peter fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus and denied that he knew Jesus in the very shadow of the cross. Jesus previously appeared to Peter, but this particular appearance restored Peter not just to fellowship, but to leadership. The scene shifts from Jerusalem to the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. The scripture says, starting with John chapter 21, verse 1, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We're going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Children, do you have any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said to Peter a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter denied Jesus three times, and now he has confessed his love for Jesus three times. Interestingly, in these passages of Scripture, Jesus uses the Greek word agapeo, which means love based in the will, the type of selfless devotion that God has for man, in that God would give his only son for our salvation. Peter, on the other hand, uses the Greek word phileo, indicating love based in the emotions. And we can see the difference between Peter's love and Jesus' love in the episode surrounding the crucifixion, in that Jesus' agapeo love for him, for us, led him to the cross, while Peter's phileo love for Jesus caused Peter to deny Jesus when Peter's emotions were flooded by fear. Peter finds Jesus' spotlight uncomfortable and tried to change the subject of the conversation from himself to another of the disciples. But Jesus was not moved by the conversational tactic and kept the spotlight firmly on Peter, as Peter was to be the rock to the apostles. The Bible says, starting with John 20, chapter verse 20, "Then Peter, turning around, saw John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, 'Lord, who is the one that betrays you?' Now Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, 'But Lord, what about this man?' Jesus said to Peter, 'If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me.' Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but 'If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?' So John, possibly because of his acquaintance with the high priest, was the only apostle to remain with Jesus all of the way to the cross. Jesus gave John his mother for which to care, and history tells us that John was the only one of the apostles to die a natural death. The rest of the apostles, all who left Jesus during his trials, were martyred for their testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And John certifies his gospel with his own personal testimony. The Bible says in John 20:24, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." And Jesus appears to his apostles once again on a mountain in Galilee. The Bible says, starting with Matthew 28:16, "Then the 11 apostles went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, their final meeting is held back in Jerusalem, as the apostles must go there for the ascension of Jesus, the risen Savior, and the descending of the Holy Spirit, which is to come. The Bible says, starting with Mark 16, verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 that they sat at table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And being assembled with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he led them out as far as Bethany. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried into heaven. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. And that is the post-resurrection experiences of Jesus Christ and his disciples. And that is also our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your resurrection from the dead and for those things that you did with those men and with those women to reveal yourself to them, that they might make a record that we can read coherently and come to the understanding that you rose from the dead physically on that first Easter Sunday morning, that you stayed on the earth for 40 days and appeared to the disciples and instructed them as to what you would have them to do, as you sent them the Holy Spirit and enabled them to start the organization that we now call the church, as the gospel that you preach while you were here continues to be preached around the world. And we ask you, Lord, now today that you would give us a clear understanding of what your word has to say, that we might be able to apprise someone else that we know that might not know you in the pardon of their sins, that although the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is Jesus, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for all who are in the house today. And we ask you to give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and bring us back once again at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us another opportunity to come out to your house and to discuss your word. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that we have been able to learn from the sharing of your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us on this resurrection morning to recognize that which you did for us out on Calvary, and then how you showed yourself to us after your resurrection, that we might have a confident assurance that you are on our side, and although the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we're praying for Dr. Allen as he's about to make a journey 11 hours back from here to New Jersey. And we ask you, Lord, that you give him traveling mercies on the highway, that he might be able to pass through the cold section safely and get on to the warm section where he can navigate safely. And we pray for those about whom he is concerned, Brother Quarterman and his grandson and his son as well. We ask that you bless them all, help him as he continues to finish his assignment out there and bring him back home at the appointed time. We're praying for Sister Ellen and those whom she is concerned about, for her sons, for her daughter, for her parents, for the store. We're asking that you bless in all those cases and that you would give them those things that they require and help them to just regulate their mind and fix their heart, that they might be able to acknowledge you. And then we ask you that you bless the store, that we thank you that that the business has been profitable during the holiday season, and we ask you that it would continue to be the same even as the seasons progress. We're praying for the other ones that she's asking us for, Sister Elson and Sister Harris, and Sister Pendleton and Sister Pruitt, for Sharon, and for the sister with the aneurysm. We'd ask you, Lord, that you'd go in all these sick rooms and hospital rooms and bless, and just allow your power to flow, that they might recover from their illnesses, and then give them a knowledge of it, that they might be able to leave their beds with a knowledge of the goodness of the Lord. Continuing in prayer for the Beards as well, ask you to bless Sister Marcia and Brother Julian and Brother Young. Just resolve their situation favorably, Lord, and bless them in all that they do. Praying for my wife, Lord, I'm asking that you bless her, that you also bless my son, and just be with him as he's about to do some traveling this week. Let the plane make it to Las Vegas safely, and let it make it back safely, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, that as his holiday has to be somewhat abridged, we ask you, Lord, that you'd allow him to enjoy the time that he's there and be able to be prepared for that which he must do when he returns from there. Also praying for Rachel Dema's mother, for our sister, her mother Z, who has made it back home. We thank you for the recovery that she has made so far. We're asking that you would continue to help her to recover from the stroke that she has suffered. Praying for the Rodriguez and the Tyson, for Mother Versa, Mother Wills, and Wendy Thompson, and Linda Harris, and their family members that they are concerned about. We thank you that Marie's mother is in town today, and we ask you, Lord, that you give her a special dispensation of your traveling grace as she has to make it back over the dangerous highway as well. God in that and directing all that she does, and we ask that you continue to bless the mentoring relationship that Marie has set up. Praying for Rick, who's over in Iraq, and we're asking you, Lord, that you bless his situation. Keep that hedge of protection around him. Keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, although he is in harm's way. And we're asking, Lord, that you'd also give him the emotional stability that he needs to minister to the troops who are there that are under his care, so to speak. ask you, Lord, just make him a leader in his unit and allow him to give folk that which they need to recover from the shock of losing their comrades. Also praying for Nikki Owens and for Brian, for Sarah Roberts, and we're asking you that you bless Eric and Amanda this week as they tie the knot. And we ask you, Lord, that you make that marriage one that would be strong. Give them an understanding of what married life is all about, that they might be able to adjust to one another. We ask you that you would bless that relationship until they come to a saving knowledge of you as well. We're praying for the Edwards family. We thank you that Brother Edwards and his sons are here today, Lord. And we're praying for Sister Carruthers and Sister Nichols and Sister Goodson. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would continue to let Harris III recover from his cold and flu, and that you would help Harris II as he continues to recuperate from his injury. We just ask you, Lord, that you bless in their case, give Brother Harris, Brother Edwards, traveling mercies as he drives up and down the road this week. Has a lot of ground to cover. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd allow him to cover his ground safely and do his job well as well. And we pray for his wife and their mother as well. We ask you to bless in all that she is doing as she's continuing her education. Praying for the Fullers in the store across the street, for Penny Rogler, that Brother Rick has asked us to pray for. We're praying for Frieda Durham and the Smithwick family, for the Striking family, for Mike Pillow, for Janet Teddy, and for Tyrone Davis, and for Joseph Miller, for the Grimmelot family, the Kernicke family, and for all those whom Brother Lee has asked us to pray for, Mr. Walkington, and we ask you that you bless Sister Connolly in her bereavement, and that you bless at the cleaners, and that we're praying for his sons, Darius and Cedric. And we're asking you, Lord, that you continue to bless them and allow them to grow in the academic world as they are, each on their own level. Give them that which they require, that they might be able to learn all that the teachers are telling them, and as the end of the term is approaching and test time is coming, that you give them the mind that they need to be able to retain the information required and regurgitated back to the teacher at the appointed time. And we're praying the same thing for JJ and Janelle, who are also in the collegiate situation. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would bless them academically, that you would bless JJ's knee and allow those tendons and sinews and muscles to develop a method to knit together, even without the assistance of the doctors. Just allow him to navigate on that knee in such a way that he can avoid the surgery that some have predicted that he must have. We just ask you that you bless him that, and we continue to pray for Janelle as she's had a knee problem as well. We thank you that things are going well with her, and we ask you that you continue to bless her. Praying for Veronica Olney and Mike Kraft, for Mother McClure, we thank you that she's been able to get back to town, and also for Brother Hokewater, and we're asking you, Lord, that you bless them all that the McClures are concerned about, and bless them. Help them to continue to guide those young people in the way that they should go, so as they get older, they will not depart from it. Now we pray for Sister Winston's family for their bereavement there, and we ask you, Lord, that you would give Brother Winston comfort as his father has gone on to meet you. But we ask you, Lord, that you would give him strength as he has to go through the funeral process this week, that you'd allow him to receive comfort from his family and comfort from his friends and for those who are concerned about him there in Muskegon. We ask you, Lord, that you go with that family, stand by them, and allow them to go through this bereavement period and understand that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord from now on. Continuing in prayer for Sister Powell and Sister Porter and for their son as well. Praying for Dad, for Martin, for Uncle Jab, for Aunt Naomi, for all those in the family that are in Chicago and on the East Coast. We just ask you that you bless in those cases Sister Frazier, Brother Bowie here in town, for the Northerns in Houston and the Perkins in Lafayette, Louisiana. We ask that you bless those young men as they're raising young families and help them, Lord, to be centered and to raise their children in the way that they should go as well. Praying for Brother Russell in White Hills and Brother Sifford, who's a chaplain over in Iraq. We're asking you to bless in those cases and give them that which they need to make those experiences profitable, not just for themselves, but for those who are depending on them. Praying for Sister Flanagan and Sister Patton and Brother Powell's daughter, Sister Powell, as well. We're asking you to bless in all these cases. We're also praying for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for armed forces, both here and abroad, those who are putting their lives on the line and standing in harm's way, that they might be able to keep us safe over here. And we ask you, Lord, that you go with them, put your hedge of protection around them, and bring them back home at the conclusion of their tours, hale, whole, and healthy, and able to continue life with their families. And we're praying for the salvation of our family and friends as well. And we're thanking you for this little place that you've given us here, that we might be able to make the word plain. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd continue to give us the word, that you would continue to give us that which we need to know, that we might be able to have a deeper understanding of that which you would have us to do in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life. I ask you that you would bless her and all that she has to do this week, that you'd make those things on her job that she must do pleasurable and profitable for her as she goes to and fro about doing that kind of work. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, the rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Jesus Christ was known to his apostles after his resurrection in the breaking of the bread. And the bread represents the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken on the cross. And the wine represents his blood that was shed that our sins might be forgiven. And in the celebration of his body and blood, we have the charge to remember that which he has done for us. Having reviewed his post-resurrection experiences, let us remember that which he has done for us, how he rose to be with his Father, and sent the Holy Spirit that we might be able to live for him. Let us remember all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.